This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Okay, it is time here on Thursday Night Pint to preview Liverpool versus Spurs. I am joined still by Steve Hoare, by Chris Paddock, and by superstar DJ Navos as well. Tottenham Hotspur, Steve Hoare, the first Premier League club to sack an interim manager. It'd be nice to be...
It might not be the last this week.
Yeah, well, it could be nice to contribute towards them being the first club to sack two interim managers. They're a shambles. It's quite annoying that they actually might have another new manager bounce. I don't know. They're a mess. I don't really know what to predict with them. It would be nice if we just put them to bed.
When I first saw this fixture a while ago, I was like, we're playing Spurs in spring again. That's a title challenge potential deal, right? You know, and unfortunately, we're not at that point where we are anymore. But no, I went to the reverse fixture. Actually, it was a very competitive game. Like, I thought they pulled better than them, and they deserved to win. But what they've always got, mate, and what the annoying thing about Tottenham is that they do have
Harry Kane
and Son, and yeah. so they've got goals from nothing. They can just hurt you, and that's why they are where they are in the league, because they are quite crap, but they do have two lads who can. And it's a bit why Liverpool, as bad as they've been at times, are still floating around the top six, because they've got Mo Salah. And, you know, they've got that one lad who can just stick the ball on the back of the net sometimes. So they have been a shambles. The Newcastle result, you know, booing their own players, knocked out. They've been as Tottenham-y as Tottenham can get. But this does feel, it feels a bit different in that it's starting to feel like the end of an era now. You know what I mean? I'm guessing this might be Harry Kane's last season. There's going to be movements around Tottenham and things like that. But from our point of view, it's an Anfield home game. And we were speaking before, and Liverpool need to win every game remaining, get to that 71 points mark, and just hope that somebody somewhere, whether it's Newcastle, whether it's Man United, ideally though, both of them, just absolutely fall to bits. That's all we can do. And I am confident of beating them at Anfield. But every time we play Spurs, it's a close game. Like, there's very few times we've played them I can think of since, I remember 13-14 when we had the couple where we battered them a few times. But generally speaking, they give us a hard game, both at Anfield and at their gaff. So I wouldn't be shocked again if it's, you know, if we win, it's by the odd goal, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm excited for it, Chris, if I'm being perfectly honest, because, you know, we've had a few where we've really had to kind of grind through having those two away games, you know, where we've gone and picked up points for the change, which has been absolutely brilliant. Wins, more importantly, has been good. We've now got a run of three home games back to back. It is a big game. I know both teams have badly underperformed by their standards. Liverpool, obviously, well more than Spurs in that regard. But there is that, you know, the Harry Kane factor. We were ranking the most, you know, hated rival players, and Harry Kane isn't, but he is a player we love to get one over on. I like to see him unhappy. And the same goes with Son, that they're good players. It's a good challenge. It's a good, exciting game of football to get excited about, to go to and watch and enjoy.
Yeah, and you know, with Spurs as well, there's going to be opportunities there, isn't there? It's not going to be one of those games like where they do sit back, but they're also quite open as well at the same time. That's their problem this year, really, isn't it? Like, you know, they haven't quite, since Conte's been gone, you know, I've only seen them once since Conte's been gone, but they've been a lot more, they haven't been as rigid. They've not been anyone, no one knows what they're supposed to be doing defensively in quite the same way and stuff for me. So I think there's always going to be goals in this fixture. And I think Liverpool are the better side as well. And I think Liverpool need to go out there and prove it. Because I think the way that we are at the moment, we've spoken about it on shows over the last day or so, where it's like Liverpool and tonight as well, to be fair, sort of getting back that mentality monsters thing. I think Liverpool can do that. I think Tottenham are broken. And I think we just need to put the nail in the coffin, to be quite honest with you.
What do you think about that, Navos? It does feel like that, I know. It'll be Ryan Mason in charge, you know, there'll be, and just for the sake of clarity with people, we're recording this like live as Tottenham play Manchester United.
And they're losing.
They're currently losing that game. But so that this will have some impact, of course, on the feelers at the weekend. But Chris is right there, is they are a mess and Liverpool feel like they're turning a corner. Well, then we haven't got time to be messing around with Tottenham trying to turn any corners themselves. It's at Anfield. We just need to come put the foot on the throat.
I agree. I think they're in a terrible situation at the minute. And I think, like, on our side, obviously with our winning streak at the minute and stuff like that, I just can't see Liverpool losing it. I can't. And I can't even see us drawing. I can see us beating them 3-1, something like that, because the way that they are and the way that we are at the minute, there's just no, I don't think there's any comparison, to be honest with you.
They feel like they're a team who, like, shambles basically. Again, a caveat that we know what's happening now, but like in general they just look like they can't get this over. Like we felt a few weeks ago, we have turned a bit of a corner. Theirs has gone the complete opposite way. You know, how can you start a season with, you know, a league winning manager, Champions League football, loads of, you know, you did spend money in the summer. Conte got players in, he went and bought Richarlison, he did get the dough to spend and stuff. And they've ended up where they were literally they did his head in so much that he thought, fuck it, I'm going on the telly,
yeah,
and just slagging them all off so they can please sack me and give me some money.
He walked out on stage with, he'd rather have walked out with a grenade in either hand and take himself out just to kind of make a statement, because that was how much Tottenham had done his head in.
Exactly, and
it's not really surprising that they're a shambles. They're rudderless. They've got no manager again.
Yeah.
I mean, and they haven't. And the last one was a stupid appointment as well, wasn't it? Like, you know what I mean?
No, before, and Mourinho.
No, I mean the last interim manager.
Keeping Stellini.
It just beggars belief, to be quite honest with you. The guy that you've sacked assistant, you're going to go and take on. I mean, it's just fucking stupid.
I think they're in a worse position than what we were a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I genuinely do, because obviously, I mean, we've always had Klopp. That's the thing. We've always had him. So it's like, we've never lost that leadership. We were just trying to figure out who needs to play in what role. And I think we are starting to figure that out. And they're doing this and we're doing this at the minute. So
they feel 13-14 Liverpool when we didn't win it. And then it all started going wrong and the best player wants to leave and there's doubts about everyone. Yeah. Who's in charge and who's buying who and who gets what. That they feel a little bit like that, Spurs. Like, and it might get worse before it gets better for them. And I heard recent reports say Nagelsmann was close to getting the job and things like that, which again, maybe, I don't know, like, maybe he's good, I don't know, he seems like he's got the profile to it, but...
You've got Marty McFly managing them, it's wild.
They're at a point, unfortunately, now, but looking ahead to this game in particular, is that with all this being said, they still pose a threat. It's a bit like fighting the boxer with the knockout punch. At any point in time, they could score against you.
Well, we say, I think back to the game, Salah scored one of the great individual Anfield goals of all time, and then they get the penalty and Kane sticks it away. You know, and that's because they've got that kind of threat in them. And he, you know, again, scores earlier on this season. He will. We don't have clean sheets. Not many. In fact, I was looking at it in terms of the last five against Spurs. 2-1-1 or 2-2-3-1, 2-1, that's both home and away, for three away games chucked in that one. So you wouldn't bank on it being a huge scoreline, but also, Spurs are a mess. So that's the challenge for Liverpool, is to get the feel-good vibes.
And because they're playing tonight as well, excuse me, it's an extra day's rest for us by comparison to them.
And for a home.
And they've got a smaller, worse squad than us.
Yeah. Let's talk about Liverpool's squad then, Navos. For you, you know, from what you've seen the last couple of games, particularly the players who've come off the bench, who do you think is in line for a start here that hasn't in the last three.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Started in the last, that hasn't started in the last three.
Yeah, so I mean, like, we've got, there's Thiago, Elliott, Diaz, Nunes. Pick one, we'll start from there.
I think Nunes could get a start this time, because I think, obviously I know, you know, Jota got a couple of goals game before last, but I think from the last game, I think he might sort of see that he's not burying chances that he should be. That last game, there's a couple of chances where I thought these should have been put away.
I'll be honest with you, mate, I'm going to interrupt a little bit. I'm not sure Darwin's your man for that either.
No, I know, but I just think... I completely agree, but I just think, like, just he's got to keep... I think from looking at Klopp's point of view and what he would normally do is change it up and see what he can do and put him in a different position or try him in a different way. And yeah,
I think of those you said, I think Diaz might be the most likely. Mm-hmm. I think he might also play Thiago, because Hendo looked goosed the other day. Like, we'll see how he rocks up, because he looked shattered.
Well, that's one of the things that's really noticeable about this season. And this is the thing with the issue with Thiago. I think there's two players who've played too much footy this season. Well, there's three of our midfielders. Fabinho's played more minutes than anyone. Henderson's played too much, and Thiago's played too much. Now, Thiago's coming back in, so he doesn't need to play footy matches. It probably is. That's what his role needs to be now, is to give a little bit of burden, release the burden on some of the lads. But it's Tottenham Hotspur. You're right, I don't think you're going to take Fabinho out for this one, Chris. You're probably just going to, you would persist with him. And that makes sense for the Thiago Henderson one, if nothing else. Let Jordan have 60 minutes off. And if you want him to run things down and maybe shut the game down in the last half an hour, you've got that option there.
Yeah, maybe. I think, you know, if there was players that I was looking at, I'm thinking Jota. I'm probably thinking Henderson. I'm probably thinking Fabinho. Jota, not a performance thing for me. Jota's more, you know, out for a long time, comes back in, plays a lot of football. That's a concern for me. You know, I want to be able to give him a little bit of a rest here and there. Diaz would be the one that I'd like to put into the side. Little bit concerned whether he can go yet. I mean, we've seen essentially, I think, about 40 or 50 minutes from Diaz. So normally you'd like, if this was pre-season, Diaz would be getting 60.
Yeah.
At some point. Maybe this is the 60.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the 60 and Jota takes the 30 or something like that. So yeah, on the Jota thing, he's played a lot of football recently, and then to go another short week, I think that might just be three games in. What will it be, 7 days for Jota? That might just be a little bit too much. I think it's too much for Jordan as well.
I think that feels smart on the Jota front. And also, it's part of the competitiveness. Look, Diaz has come in off the bench, well, three times now, but the last two, really, because the Leeds one was just a more of a trotting him out. and he's looked at danger. He's looked at threat. And you're right, he would be in normal world. I think that left side is just his position. You know, we talked about earlier on in the show about how, like, Thiago and Norman, you know, is he now in that position where he does just come in when he's fit? Well, he actually hasn't been in the last couple of weeks. But Diaz is your man. He's prime age. He's bought for that. He's integrated into the side. He's desperate. He was one of our main men before he gets injured. So it makes sense that he'll be the one who's being kind of not pushed into the first team, but kind of cautiously guided back in there. And again, maybe it is a performance thing for Jota. He's taking his chances the last couple of weeks. Well, you know what's not going to do him any harm. He didn't score this week, mate. That Diaz's chance.
Yeah.
That's how ruthless and cutthroat it's going to be. Diaz is going to come in, right, you're going to have a couple of good games and see if you can do what Jota's done in the next three. And if not, you know what, sound, merry-go-round, we'll bring someone else in and we'll keep it ticking over and keep it refreshing.
You know,
I just
want
to see more Diaz, to be honest.
Do you know what's really mad, though? Just how much of a machine Salah is.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Because for all the conversations about lads playing too much, he's in his 30s every single game.
Yeah.
Every single game, no matter what.
I see and so many people chatting shit about him as well, and it does my head in that.
Yeah. His quality, it's unbelievable. The amount of football that lads played season upon season upon season at those levels, it's actually ridiculous. Like, does he need a break? Never. Is the answer seemingly?
Yeah.
How?
No. Yeah.
He's a freak, isn't he? Four days between games makes you think he should be okay. Whatever he wants to do, like in terms of the changes, Ibu was going to play. You would think he was rested, so he'll come back in.
It was a knock, wasn't it?
Well, he said. Jürgen said after the game, he's played too much, and I was just happy.
We
were looking after him a little bit because he hadn't trained. But he could have played if he really wants them to. So he should be fine. I imagine it'll be three changes. I think one of the midfielders change, and I think it'll be Jordan. And I think one of the forwards change, and I agree with you, it's probably Jota. And I think that feels about right. And then you'll make another three changes for Fulham.
I don't think Darwin's done enough yet, and you know, to say. And look, we say that if he's pulling up trees in training, Klopp might go, actually, you know what, mate? But right now, Gakpo's in brilliant form. He fits what we're doing. And then on the other side, Jota's scoring goals when he's playing in that position, and he's doing all the functional stuff as well. And now Diaz is back and has impressed off the bench. So yeah, Darwin's kind of finding himself sort of fifth in the pecking order. And I think I said this on the player rankings last night. But if Firmino's fit, I'd have Firmino in ahead of before Nunes at this point. Yeah. I just think in terms of what they're doing on the
pitch. I think you're right there. The Klopp's buzzword has been stability for the last 7 days, hasn't it? Darwin doesn't scream stability at me, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. That's the point.
Yeah. I mean, that's the point. There you go. That's all. Yeah.
Full stop. Yeah. No, you're hard to argue into. It really is.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I agree with that. I think I can't see how Thiago doesn't come in for this because I think you're running the risk of heading towards negligence. Elliot. Yeah, a couple of both, but this feels to me like two. Max three changes, and I actually don't think Konate counts because he'd have been in the team in another world. He'd have just played that game in the midweek. So I think you can swap in for Matip and it doesn't count. You know, we often worry about making too many changes. I don't think that kind of counts in a
weird
way.
Well, let's say Konate's in back five.
Uh-huh.
Trent, Konate, Van Dijk, Robertson.
Yeah.
I think it'll be Fabinho. Oh, I think Jones starts. I'm going to leave the other midfielder for now. I think Diaz on the left, Salah on the right, Gakpo up front, which we saw Thiago play that right hand side. Mm-hmm. I feel like you've got to give Elliot a go.
Against Tottenham, I don't think so.
I think we should try to put Thiago in. Yeah. Personally.
It'll be interesting to see if Thiago can do the covering that we've been asking Henderson, or indeed if they ask him to do it. That's the interesting question, isn't it? Because we had the conversation.
He's very good at slowing the game down, I think, Thiago. He's like, you know, if we're getting constantly attacked or whatever, I just think he's very good at slowing that game down and being like, screw your head on, lads, let's play out from the back.
The only thing is that I like the idea of Thiago on the bench, and you want to get toward a situation where you can use him for what you want to use him for. I think it's been a useful addition in recent games where you're playing low block sides and you might need to break down to a cut toward the end of the football match. I don't think that's going to be the case against Tottenham. I think there's a good chance we could run this one up in the first 60 minutes and Thiago can be a part of that, and that's when you then go, am I bringing Milner on, am I bringing Henderson on, or am I bringing Elliot on for him, because I don't want Thiago playing the 90 on this. I think we need to keep protecting what we've got. You could see actually Henderson then come on for Fabinho potentially in that situation again, just to rest legs, and then Milner. And that's the, we've won this game, we've done all we're going to do, we've expended all the energy we want to expend, we're shutting it down. That hopefully that'll be the game plan.
I was thinking, because I had never considered Thiago playing right wing, well, right midfield in this system. You know, the big chat about it last week, obviously, put you on fight with me, but then he Klopp did do it, and he obviously thinks he's a viable option, innit? It still concerns me. I don't know if you want Thiago legging it about as much as that, because
Thiago loves legging it about. We've got this idea of him like he's Jan Molby, and he's got like a 5-yard radius that he just sprays passes from.
I still think he's that good at it. is the general?
I think he's much better.
I like
better
the idea of Thiago as a protractor.
Yeah.
Just in the middle of the park.
Just 1 foot dug into the ground.
The anti-foosball, it just spins that way.
Yeah. No, I just don't think that Tottenham's defence, or if Thiago started, would be able to keep up with the passes of Thiago and Trent. I just don't think we'll be able to
do it. That is outrageous. Having Thiago and Trent in the same team is...
When we brought him on against Leeds, it was like... It was just like a wet dream, one of the two under the middle of the park. More of that, please.
Let's wrap this up then. Let's get score predictions. Navas, what do you think?
I think 3-1 Liverpool.
What is the current score for Tottenham?
They're losing 1-0.
That's a shout, actually, yeah.
I think it's going to be 4-0 to Liverpool.
You bastard.
2-1 to the Reds.
I think 4 as well. I think we're going to batter them. I really do. And we're going to absolutely batter them.
I think we might make Harry Kane cry.
Yeah. I'm feeling that, like, you know, Harry Kane scores his goal, so he says he's done his job bit, like he does all the time.
Well, eh?
Well, no. If we can do to him what will happen with the Ronaldo thing, if we can just deny him that, then it's a perfect afternoon. You win well. And Kane, if he has one chalked off of VAR, would be absolutely perfect.
He wins a pen, then he gets overturned for diving.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God.
You could make a great author one day.
Yeah. Give me
forget
your...
50 Shades of Grey. Come and listen to my new novel. I've got your box off. Yeah.
Put your score predictions in the comments underneath if you don't mind. If you're listening on podcasts and all that good stuff, always leave 5-star reviews. That always helps.
Thanks for listening. If you want even more Bosch content and podcasts just like this, go over to redmenplus.com and sign up now.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.